We want to talk about don't miss God's best. Now today we want to dig into God's Word, and I hope you're ready for it. If you're not, I don't know. You might miss out on a blessing. I hope not. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, I want you to keep your Bible open there. And I would like to talk about God's best for us. This is what Paul wanted for the church in Colossae and Laodicea. He wanted them to see and to have and to experience God's best. But the devil would like to keep you where you are. If you're not saved, the devil wants to keep you there. You want to listen to him? If he can't keep you from being saved, then actually nobody can be kept away from getting saved if that person chooses to get saved. The devil cannot keep you from getting saved if you choose to. But Paul did not address this letter to unsaved people. He wanted them to discover God's best for them. He didn't want them to miss. He doesn't want us to miss what God has for us. And so he begins with these verses in Colossians chapter 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. What is that conflict he talks about? He says this conflict is, I'm really concerned about you who live in Colossae and them that live in Laodicea. Why? Now they could have answered Paul and says, don't worry about us, we're fine. No, Paul was very concerned for them, and he says that he has like an inner conflict because he wasn't there in person. And so in this verse, he expresses his desire, I wish I could sit down face to face with you, eye to eye, and I could say to you, and you could see the expression in my face. You could look me in the eye and see how serious I am about you discovering God's best for your life. What was his desire? And this is all in this passage here. His desire was that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now that is the greatest blessing that the people of God can have. That's the greatest blessing the church can have. That you and I would be comforted. Because comfort always gives strength. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so if we allow the Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we let Him work in our lives, and we ask Him every single day, Holy Spirit, complete the work of God that you have begun in me. Let it grow, let it mature. And then it says that your hearts might not only be comforted, but knit together in love. Inseparable, that we are so close to each other in spirit, that we love each other so with our whole hearts, with genuine hearts, and with clean hearts, with clear conscience, that nothing can separate us. And then he goes on to say, and you can underscore that in your Bible if you want to, knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So Paul had the desire, he wanted the Colossians to understand and come to the point where they would not only be comforted, not only be knit together, but that it would also come to the full assurance of understanding, that their understanding of the Bible, their understanding of the walk in Jesus Christ was so sure, so undeniably solid, without any doubts, without any confusion, that they would acknowledge the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. So he's saying, don't let this go past you. So Paul is saying, in essence, look, I am so concerned, I wish I could sit down with you face to face, heart to heart, and have a heart talk with you. And I don't want you to miss this for anything. I want you all to know that there is more. That God wants you to have everything. That God wants you to have a full understanding of His riches and wisdom and knowledge that there is in Jesus Christ. So what a tragedy if we miss it. What a tragedy if God has all the treasures, He has all the fullness, and we don't really tap into it. We just keep on struggling and struggling and struggling, and we just can't seem to tap into it. This is why we need to be, I would like to use the word, aggressive in our prayer life, to ask the Lord for more every day. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I wouldn't miss your best. I read about the South African diamond mines, and most diamonds, I was told, are from South Africa. Do you know how they were discovered? One day, some adults came by and they observed boys playing with these, what they thought were pretty rocks. They had found pretty rocks, and so they were playing marbles with these $1 million diamonds. That's how they discovered the diamonds in South Africa. This is kind of what we do sometimes as Christians, right? We have the Bible, we have the full gospel, we have the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit. Everything is accessible for us. But we play marbles with the diamonds, with the treasures of God. We don't really know how much they're worth. Of course, these boys, they didn't know and they didn't care. They were, when those diamonds, their marbles were taken away, they had to be replaced somehow. And they wondered why they couldn't keep them. But that's how Christians do it sometimes. We play. And here it says, as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk, the King James Version says, so walk ye in Him. And this is exactly what the devil doesn't want you to learn. This is exactly where I believe is the greatest battle in our Christian life. God wants us to discover His best, and the devil tries to prevent that. When we go back to chapter 2, verse 4, we read here, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. See, the devil will always have distractions for you and me. He will always try to make it where it's very difficult for you to pray and to read the Bible, where it's very difficult for you to actually sit down and take some time in the Word. Because that aggravates the devil the most. And he doesn't want you to do that. And so Paul warns and says, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. In verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, Paul says anyone or anything that distracts you from Jesus Christ, you need to avoid it. You need to cut it off and not let it influence you and not let it affect your spiritual life, because God has His best for you on the table and you need to come and get it. You see, Satan is a smooth talker. Satan does not want you to understand what the Bible teaches and what God wants you to learn. He wants to entice you. He wants to distract you from concentrating and listening to God. And even in the church services, he wants you to become restless. If you're a teenager, of course, it's very hard to sit for a whole hour. Oh my goodness, you know, when is he going to be gone? And he's only done with the introduction. And now what am I going to do all this time? I can't wait until I get out of here. No, Satan wants you to be distracted that way, but God wants you to listen. Satan is a smooth talker. God is there with the truth of His word, and He wants you to listen. Now listen to three simple things that we can see in this text here. First of all, Paul says here that we ought to walk in Him. We ought to walk in Christ. Christ is a boundary for us. And we want to picture this. Just say, I would tell you to walk around in this church building. That means you would have to walk within the perimeters of this building. You cannot walk outside. If I would tell you, walk around in this building, you would have to stay within the parameters, within the boundaries of the measurements of this building. Now, this is the picture that Paul wants us to get here, that the boundaries for our faith walk are, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If we were to step outside, that means that we are violating the boundaries that He has in us. Jesus Christ is the boundary for your life and my life. And it's not that hard to get. Some people think the Christian life is very complicated. And when you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, sometimes you have the impression that the Christian life must be very complicated. How can I do all that? But here he gives us the key. Here's the boundary. Walk in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? To walk in Jesus Christ. That means that we are actually limited. We are limiting ourselves to whatever Jesus has for us. And this is against the human nature. This is against the sinful nature. This is against the proud and prideful nature. Because as a natural person, we want to say, now don't box me in. Don't hem me in any way. I don't want to be fenced in. I want to have options in life. I don't want to just have Jesus Christ. I want to have other things too. That's very easy for the natural man to say this. And that we would say, well, you know, how dull can life be if I'm so fenced in, if I limit my spiritual walk only to be in Christ. That's it. It's a boundary that is good for us. There are limits. There are boundaries in our spiritual life. So walk in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I want to repeat some words here. Paul says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches and to full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You think that's dull and boring? You think that means that we're fenced in, that we can't do anything, we have to have these straitjackets on? No, it's all the riches in spiritual blessings that we receive, that we can discover. If we have the attitude as followers of Christ, only in Christ. Everything I do, everything I decide, got to be in Christ. Because I walk in Jesus Christ. He is my boundary. You see, there's nothing worth having outside of Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't want you to understand this. And this is why this can be easily misunderstood and say, well, why can't you be so fanatical? But you know, when you become a Christian, when you become a born-again believer, there are things off-limit for us. There are things that we have to say, no, we can't do certain things, we can't say certain things. Others may say it, others may do it, we can't, because we walk in Christ. It's like a basketball game, and I think some of you know about, a little bit about basketball. They have the lines, and the lines are drawn. So if you say, well, you know, I want to be a basketball player, but I don't want to play by the regular rules. I want to lower the basket. You know, the basket is usually, what, about 9 feet high? So I want to have it at 6 feet, so it's as high as me, so I can just lay the ball in anytime I want to. I don't have to jump. I don't have to throw. I don't want to do that. I want to make it easy for me. So that would be one rule that we would break. Another one would be if I step out of bounds, oh, I don't want the referee to whistle because that may hurt my feelings. You know, I mean, I'm human and I can't do that. If I play basketball, I mean, I need to be able to step out of bounds and get away with it. No. There are bounds. There are rules. There are limits. And you gotta play the game according to those rules. And loved ones, this is also for the Christian life. If we are in Jesus Christ, He becomes our ruler. He becomes our referee through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our referee. And He will whistle and He will say, you're out of bounds. You need to come back. Come back to Christ. This is dangerous or it will not count. So there's a referee that tells us when we're out of bounds. This is what chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul says in Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God do what in your heart? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let God, through His peace and His Spirit, set the boundaries because we walk in Jesus Christ. Our focus is on Christ and Christ only. He is the referee. The peace of God becomes the referee in our hearts. And this is good for us. Because this will keep us focused on what really matters. And what really matters is that you and I please Jesus Christ. This is God's way to keep us straight. To keep us walking, not according to the flesh. You see, the world and the flesh and the devil will allure us. And they will tempt us to step out of bounds. They will tempt us to say, well, it's not so bad. You know, I got away with it before and I think I'm going to get away with it again. You see, there's nothing this world has. There's nothing of the flesh that the flesh has or the devil has that can actually get us to step out of bounds without our own consent and free will. If you and I are focused on the boundary, Jesus Christ, He will help us. And if we allow the Spirit of God, let me emphasize this one more time. If you and I allow the Spirit of God to blow the whistle when we are out of bounds, that He reminds us, that He tells us, look, you went too far here. You spoke too evil. You spoke, you did this, you did that. Then we need to pay attention. We need to pay heed to the Holy Spirit and say, no, Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to focus on you. The simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then we need to talk about being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit blows the whistle, we shouldn't just say, oh, I don't care what he says. No, we should care. We should go on our knees and say, Lord, what do I need to correct here? And then there's the beginning of the faith walk. And this is what is so important. As you have therefore received Christ. So where do we begin in our walk in faith? That is when we receive Christ. And we say, well, you know, shouldn't the Apostle Paul have said that Christ received us? Yes, he did, but we responded to his call. We responded by giving our hearts, our lives to him, by repenting of our sins. We responded. And every journey, every trip begins with the first step. You cannot take a journey without the first step. It can be 1,000 miles, but it begins with the first, with the beginning. So we are to receive Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. This is very important. We can say, well, I have Christ as my Savior. He's my Savior. No, he ought to be your Lord. When he is our Lord, he sets the boundaries. That means that we are within the boundaries and we play it right according to what he wants and not what we want. So to receive Christ as Lord and Savior is a personal encounter with him. Someone wrote this. Christianity has a creed, but it is not a creed. It has a code of conduct, but it is not a code. It has a cause, but it is not a cause. It has a church, but it is not a church. It is Jesus Christ. Churches today, church buildings are filled with moral worldlings who have joined churches, had an experience with religion, have gone through a ritual, have subscribed to beliefs, but have never met Jesus Christ. You are not saved by the plan of salvation. You are saved by the man of salvation. You may write that one down. Not the plan of salvation that saves you, but the man, the person that is behind it. Let me read the rest of this quote. You can know the plan and go to hell. So you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There was a woman that went to a church and she gave a testimony later on and she said this. I was in a Sunday school class and they were talking about attendance. They were talking about functions. They were talking about programs. They were talking about seminars. They were talking about socials. So she said, and I loved it. And then she said, something happened to my teacher. And my teacher began to talk about Jesus, and she talked about Jesus over and over again. And she said, I cannot relate to that. It was the Jesus part that I could not relate to. And it was totally new to her. She wondered why her Sunday school teacher would constantly talk about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and only Jesus. And finally, she understood and she got saved. And this is what God wants us, that we are in Christ, that Jesus has absolute control of our lives. When we look back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, this is what we see. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is God's best for you. And it must start with the walk in the Lord. Can you honestly say, I have opened my heart? I have really given everything to the Lord. I have received the Lord, and the Lord has received me. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not just religious. I'm not just a church attender. I really walk in Christ and with Him. Have you made that start? And by the way, that is what baptism is all about. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. We are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. So when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you receive Jesus Christ, we want to baptize you, which means that you are said His mourning is the devil, because He is sad that you died to sin and to the world and came into a new life with Christ. But everybody else in heaven and the angels rejoice when one sinner gets saved. So the old person needs to die and the new comes out in Jesus Christ. You are buried with the Lord Jesus. His death on the cross has your name on it. And His resurrection, and that's what baptism also says, His resurrection has your name on it. That means that you are in a new life. And this new life needs to rule in your heart through the peace of God. This sets the boundaries. So when you're saying something, when you're watching something, when you're doing something, and you lose your peace over it, what does it say? Then you're out of bounds. The Spirit of God will tell us, you know, I want to say this in teenage language. The Spirit of God will tell you, hey, knock it off. You know, stop this. Don't do this. This is not acceptable behavior. This is not an acceptable attitude. The Spirit of God wants to keep us in that boundary. In Christ. So you keep a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. The third one is balance. And if one thing that throughout my ministry has always come up in the Christian life, is that you and I need to learn to walk in Christ and walk in a balanced faith walk. Keep walking in faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In the Greek language, it literally means keep on walking. Don't stop. The Christian walk is perpetual until the day we die, until the Lord comes or whatever comes first. So as we have received Christ, how did we receive Christ? Through repentance and through asking forgiveness. That means that we bowed and humbled ourselves before God. We became brokenhearted about our sins and our human frailty and weakness. We were at our wits' end. We knew that without Christ, I can do nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. Without Him, I'm lost forever and ever for all eternity. And we knew that then. And here He says, as ye have received Christ, listen carefully, with that same attitude of humility, that same attitude of brokenness, that same attitude of dependence on God for everything, walk ye in Him every day. I hope that is clear. And that's the balance that God wants us to have. Not to become haughty, not to forget the cleansing of our sins in the past and then take it for granted that we're children of God. No, every day in humility, thank God, Lord, I thank You that You accepted me and helped me to walk today in Christ Jesus, in the boundaries and in this balance of belief and work and live for You with all my heart. So when we get saved, Paul says, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. You believe God for forgiveness and He forgave you. You believe God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, He would cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He did it. So Paul is saying, don't stop believing. Keep on believing. Keep on growing in your faith. Let your faith get stronger and stronger, not weaker and weaker. Don't get stuck on your way and your walk. Don't miss the treasures that God has for you. You don't want to miss His riches, He is saying here. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing to you and me how dependent we really are on God. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, and He gives us that conviction, the conviction is something that's very valuable. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, that doesn't mean that it always has to be of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the fact that we are human and we need more of God. And that's the balance that God wants us to walk in. Humility, grace. Humility and the forgiveness of God. To keep it up. To walk in it as we have received Him. In 1 John 2, verse 6, it says, he that says he abides in Him ought himself also so walk, even as He walked. Now that's a high standard. If we are abiding in Jesus Christ, as He said, if you abide in Me, what will happen? We will bear much fruit. And one of the fruit is joy and peace and love. And may God help us to do that. So I ask myself this question many times. Would people, when they look at me, see Jesus? Young people, children, when your parents look at you and observe you, do they see Jesus in you? You say, well, my parents can't expect that from me because I'm just a kid. I'm just young. No, God expects it. Parents, can our children see Jesus in us? Can others see Jesus in us, that we walk with Him? Listen, when the apostles preach at Pentecost and the whole town, the whole city of Jerusalem was all, I mean, stirred up. Then the Pharisees and some of the others, they said, we know that these simple men, these fishermen, they don't know much. They were unlearned. They were simple folk. But they walked with Jesus. That's what they knew. That's what they admitted. And loved ones, may that be said of us. You see, in this verse, Jesus also said, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also walk even as He walked. And then here in our text, as ye have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so keep on walking in Him. Keep in the boundaries. Remember the beginning. Remember the balance of walking in Christ. How is your prayer life? How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? May God help us that we would not miss His best. Amen.